Okay, Psalm 23. Psalm 23, often during the summers, I turn to Psalms, not because I don't want to work too hard. That's not true, but I think the Psalms, you know, they speak so much about our human existence and the reality in which we live. And so I think it's good to touch base with the Psalms. And I've, over my career, I kind of did that during the summers. So today is Psalm 23. And these words, I'm sure, are familiar to most everyone here. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thus far, the reading of God's holy and inspired word. The title of my message this morning is, The Lord is my shepherd, and that emphasis is upon the word is. He is my shepherd. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the 23rd Psalm is almost without a doubt the most loved psalm in the Bible. The simple beauty of its transmitted message in simply 150 words has withstood the test of time. Think about it. 3,000 years ago, King David wrote these words. And for these 3,000 years, they have packed an incredible punch to all kinds of believers who have taken the time to read its words, to memorize its words. Its words and its truth have been cherished by believers from every generation since David first penned it. No other words I know have so universally spoken to so many people and have delivered so much solace. In this, the psalm has benefited many a soul. For those lost in conflict and wounded soul have often turned to this psalm to be soothed. For those who have suffered the loss of a loved one to death, this psalm has brought comfort. For those who are weary and tired and burdened, this psalm has provided renewed strength. In effect, this psalm has been many things to many people. It seems that no matter what the condition the child of God finds him or herself in, they can find something in this psalm that speaks to them. Now, if I were to take a moment to poll the congregation here this morning and ask who has been deeply touched by this psalm, I'm sure that many, many hands would signal that they have indeed been blessed by the words of Psalm 23 at a particular moment in their lives, even being able to give testimony of that particular moment that it really, really hit home. At its very core, this psalm is not so much about giving a good word to the suffering or the dying or the weary, as much as it does speak to our souls on all these matters. It's at its very core, this psalm is about God's people focusing their trust in their one true Lord. It's about reminding us who our God is and how he relates to us and we to him. Now, David began this psalm with the words, the Lord. In this, his first words were chosen with care and for effect. Here he chose to use the sacred name of God to begin his psalm, the Lord. Now, you'll notice in English Bibles, when the holy name of God is being used, it's Lord is in all capital letters. This is significant, and it's done with purpose. When you see the word Lord with capital L in lowercase letters or all lowercase letters, that comes from a different derived meaning. But it's significant here. David was purposefully making a statement here with the name of God that he used. He wanted everyone to know that his God and shepherd was Yahweh. In Hebrew, this is the most sacred name of God. It is the name that which God revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush in the desert. When weak-kneed Moses asked God who he could say was sending him to be the liberator of the Israelites, God said to tell them, "I am who I am," had sent him. This name of God is important. David could have used other names to begin this psalm. He could have used El Shaddai, which means God Almighty. He could have used El Elyon, which means God Most High. He could have used El Olam, which means God Everlasting. David could have used any one of these names or several others for God, but he chose to use Yahweh. Why? Because it is God's most personal relation indicated name. It's intimate. It is who he is. I want you to remember that. It is who he is. With this name, God has revealed himself to his people at the Exodus. That David would use this name of God tells us that his relationship to his great shepherd was close. We often wish to speak to people by name. We are frustrated in the conversation when we're talking to someone who we've met, but we've forgotten their name. And I had that a little bit with Tom on Friday morning. It took me a few minutes for my mind to get it back in my head and to remember him fully from our time in Red Deer. To a certain degree, our personhood is tied with our names. In a similar way, the name of God carries with it an intimate knowledge as well. As I mentioned a moment ago, Moses was told to tell the Israelites that "I am who I am" had sent him to lead them out of Egypt. Later in the story of the Exodus, God reminded Moses of this. He said, "I am the Lord," that is Yahweh. "I appear to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty," that is, as God, as El Shaddai. "But my name, the Lord, Yahweh, I did not make myself known to them." Think about that for a minute. The father of the faith, Abraham, and his subsequent son and grandson. Often the scriptures talk about the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But God himself had not revealed this intimate name to them. And so we see in the Bible a progression of God revealing himself to his people. In Exodus, he revealed more of himself when he gave this holy name to Moses. God had not even done that for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God's holiness is linked to his name. His very identity as God is found here in his name. Now, the Bible never fully defines or explains the name Yahweh. But we do have some ideas about the extent of its meaning. The name "I am" is the same as the Hebrew verb "to be." Some scholars believe that the present tense "I am" and the causative tense "I cause to be" best define the name of God. Now, if this were so, the name Yahweh means that he is the God who is and the God who causes. Now, such an understanding has enormous implications. If this thought is correct, then we first of all have a God who always is. He does not change. Consider that for a moment. You and I, we change constantly. We get older, slower, weaker, and more unable to do what we used to do. But God is the great I am. With him, there is no similar deterioration. He remains the same. And he is great for being able to do so. He is steady even when we cannot be. And that's the point. He transcends our weak, helpless, and puny existence and chooses to lend us his strength. And that is what Psalm 23 is all about. We often think that this psalm is solely about us, but nothing could be further from the truth. It's all about God. Listen to the text again from verses 2 and 3. He, that is Yahweh, makes me lie down in green pastures. I don't do that. He does that. He leads me beside quiet waters. I don't do that. He does. He, Yahweh, refreshes my soul. He, Yahweh, guides me along the right paths. And why does God do this? So that we can be self-righteous and we can look pretty good to other people in the world? No, David says he does this because God, Yahweh, does it for his own name's sake. He does this because he is able and we are not. He does what nobody else can do. In our condition as men and women and boys and girls, we reveal our inherent human weakness. It's only when we are completely dependent on the great I am that we'll be able to continue to live without fear. We are made. We are, if you will, caused. But God is not. Psalm 102, verse 27 says, "But you, O God, remain the same, and your years will never end." Which of us here this morning can say that? In our present condition, will we remain the same forever? We know otherwise. We are frail and made of dust. Our years and days are numbered. Additionally, God is also the one who causes. He himself is without cause, but he does initiate and bring things into existence. Though he himself was never caused, it was he who brought the creation into being. Again, in Psalm 90, verse 2, the psalmist declared the truth of this matter. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. From everlasting to everlasting. That is God. So this Lord of David is a great God. He is unchanged. He is uncaused. He is ungoverned by another. We, in contrast, are ruled by our nature and our environment. But it is God who rules our world. He governs all that we are subject to in this life. Our lives are weak and frail, but God is from everlasting to everlasting. Now, if there were ever one to place our hope and trust in, I believe it must be Yahweh, the great I Am. In this, we can begin to get a sense of how he can supply our needs. When we go running off on our own to find a safe place, we are often left in a place unsafe. When our souls need restoring, we often cannot find anything which will fill our need. When we go looking for a good pathway to travel, we often end up in the ditch. All this happens because we are not able to do anything like what our God does. Yes, we need people to come alongside us in the storms of life. That's why God gave us families, friends, as well as a church family. We need to come alongside each other during the storms of life. It is true that others can comfort us in the storms of life. However, it is the great I Am who can still the storms of life. He can change the playing field because he alone is God and he created our existence. The temptation in our day is, as it was in David, is to fall into the trap of becoming self-reliant. To genuinely be able to say that the Lord is my shepherd takes a great deal of humility and courage. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. By saying this, I'm admitting that I cannot care for all my own needs. I am not completely self-contained. I am not my own master and commander. Humanity has been living as Frank Sinatra famously sang in his trademark song, "I did it my way, my way." You see, but a far better way is God's way, Yahweh's way, our shepherd. When David said that the Lord was his shepherd, he was saying that he transferred the complete oversight of his life to God. In ancient times, as well as today, the shepherd oversees the care of his flock. The truth of the matter is that sheep are very needy animals. They're really rather dull. It's interesting that of all the animals that get spoken of in the Bible, humans get compared to sheep. Think about that for a minute, okay? Now, when I served in Rimby, I had an elder who had sheep. And then I preached on Psalm 23 there once, and then he said, "Pastor, you don't even know the half of it." He says, "My sheep are duller," and I used the word dull, and he used a different word with a star with a D. He says, "My sheep are so dull that they'll just munch and munch, and then all of a sudden I'll find them in a little gully because they just kept on munching and they didn't look where they were going." He said, if it wasn't serious that I might lose an animal, but sometimes it's just funny where the sheep get themselves into trouble. He says, they just do the craziest things. And he says, oftentimes it's because the wind blows the grass and then the sheep get all afraid. You know, when I fail to allow the Lord to be my shepherd, that I'm listening for his voice, that I'm listening to him, that I'm following after his ways. When I fail to do that, I find myself in a world of trouble and hurt. The prophet Isaiah wrote these words, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. The other gods of our day promise us health, wealth, and happiness, and we blithely follow after them. They have all have their appeal, which tempts us to place our trust in them. The great power of want in our lives drives us to look for and seek out things which we think might calm our storm-tossed souls. However, David said that with the Lord as his shepherd, with the great I Am as his guide, he would not be in want. The wants of our lives have made prisoners of us all." Just think about it sometime. Men, when you want that 60 or 70-inch TV, you have a 40-inch TV. But you want a 60 or a 70-inch TV, and you keep on going at it, and you keep on, and finally you get it, and you know what it is at the end of the day? It's a TV. Oh, some of the wives are thanking me right now. Right? We become prisoners to our wants. We want a new vehicle. We want a new house. We want a new TV. We want more money in our bank account. We want a better job. We want better clothes. We find no contentment because we're always in want. And then it even gets worse in life. Then people begin to fill their lives with the pursuit of not only money but also substances. Substances that simply deteriorate their quality of life. Contrast such an approach with David's here in the psalm. David did not say, "Lord, I just want you to get rid of that bothersome king of Edom, and then my life would be just fine." David never said that. Nor did he say, "Give me just another ton of gold, and I'll be financially set, and I won't have to think about finances anymore." And David never said that. And then maybe David could have said, "Lord, give me another 10,000, 15,000 soldiers, and then my kingdom will be safe." No, he said none of these things. He declared that with the Lord as his shepherd, he would not be in want. What David was simply saying is this: what I have in the Lord is greater than what I don't have in my life. What I have in the Lord is greater than what I don't have in my life. We may desire many things, yet none of these will ultimately satisfy the deepest need of our soul. We often convince ourselves that if some circumstance changes in our lives, we will be happy. But what if circumstances never change? True joy in the Lord is not dependent on circumstances. The Apostle Paul reminds us in his life that he had come to terms with it. Not easy, but a real challenge. Paul said, "For I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do anything through him who gives me strength. I can do anything through him who gives me strength. You know, a man once went to his pastor for counseling. He did so because he was experiencing the collapse of his financial investments. And he said to the pastor, "I have lost everything." "Oh," the pastor said, "I'm sorry to hear that you lost your faith." "No," the man corrected, "I haven't lost my faith." "Well," then the pastor said, "I'm glad to hear that you've lost your, I'm sad to hear that you've lost your character." "I didn't say that," said the man. "I still have my character." "I'm sorry to hear that you lost your salvation," the pastor said. "That's not what I said," the man objected. "I haven't lost my salvation." "So you have your faith, you have your character, and you have your salvation. Seems to me," the pastor observed, "that you have lost none of the things that really matter." It may seem like at times that we have lost our whole world. We may feel like the earth is falling out from underneath us. Yet the question remains for each of us here today: is the Lord our shepherd? The truth is, we have to give ourselves into his hands. When we hold back, we find ourselves tossed about in a world of flux and confusion. The renowned theologian John Calvin wrote this in regard to Psalm 23. He said, "It should be noted that God is a shepherd only to those who, touched with a sense of their own weakness and poverty, feel their need of his protection, and who willingly abide in his sheepfold and surrender themselves to be governed by him." When the great I am who I am is our shepherd, we can be assured that goodness and love will follow us all the days of our lives. Remember, David's words are no idle mantra designed to win over some divine favor. His words were a declaration of whose he was and who supplied him in all his cares in his life. They are words which bear repeating for each one of us. I think Peppa did it really well with the kids. Maybe we can do it together and say, "The Lord is our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd." Amen. Let's pray. Lord, your prophet Isaiah had it so right. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, each one of us to our own way. At times, we are so frantic in trying to find our own way, we have lost the narrative and understanding that you are with us no matter where we go, that you are our shepherd. And we just need to always remember that and to call out to you in our times of need. Lord, we admit that we fall very short of your mark in doing so. We so easily become frustrated and angry and bitter towards some of the smallest things because we don't get our way. All the while, we forget to think about, what is your way? Have your own way with us in our daily lives. Guide us with your Holy Spirit. Lead us by your word that we read and understand and apply to our daily lives. Help us, O Lord, to remember to call out to you, our great shepherd, and to make you the one who is our shepherd for all the days of our lives. And this we pray in Jesus' name, amen.